Hi, my name is Baz, and I get involved with radio projects under the name Radio Junkie. I've been professionally involved with radio for over 30 years, and in that time have seen a lot of technical changes. At the beginning, radios had little glass tubes that glowed, called valves. I saw them replaced with transistors and solid-state amplifiers, and we've come back up to date with software-defined radios. Over the years, I've communicated by Morse key, and teletype as well as voice. I've used microwaves, satellites, and the ionosphere to skip radio waves around the world. The other day, I was listening to the weekly November Foxtrot YouTube video, and one of the audience asked how to get better long-range radio communication in MilSims. I'm one of the directing staff at the Octo 8 MilSims and handle the radio nets there. I thought it might be interesting if I try to address this subject with the Octo 8 podcast as a guest speaker. In the world of MilSim, we are mainly talking about VHF or UHF voice communications using handheld radios. From my observations, players are interested in two things. One, looking as alley as possible, and two, getting good and reliable communications at games. There are a few different radios out there, and to be fair, I own and operate most of them. These include the license-free PMR446 radios, like the Motorolas, through the Baofeng series and Retevis range of radios, the clone PRC152 radios, and the more professional radios, including digital DMR ones. I'm not saying this to be boastful, but purely to establish that I've used and experienced most of the radios used in MilSims. We could speak for hours about radios and the many facets. Generally, it's a very deep and diverse subject that's just a glancing effect on airsoft and MilSims. Most players don't want to know too much. They just expect it to work and perform when they need it to. Coming back to the question, how do you improve long-range communication at games? Well, long-range is a bit of a misnomer. If you took a radio like a Baofeng and stood on a mountain, and a teammate did the same on another mountain, you could expect to get a range in miles, providing you had a clear line of sight between your respective mountains. VHF and UHF work on a line of sight basis. They work best when you can see the person you are speaking to. The minute you get buildings or trees between you, the transmission power will get absorbed, and this will affect the range that you actually get. Easy one, I hear you say. Turn up the power. It's not quite that easy. Firstly, there are license restrictions on how much power you can use. This is for good reason. Too much power and you would start clashing with people sharing your frequencies further and further away. There are only so many frequencies available in the spectrum. Secondly, the higher the power, the more energy you draw from the radio's battery and the quicker it is used up. Thirdly, power is confusing. A 10-watt radio might have twice as much power as a 5-watt one on paper, but in reality, it doesn't give you twice the range. Due to the logarithmic nature of power, you have to put a lot more power in order to get a small increase in range. Coming back to line of sight, if you are low down in a game, for example, standing in a dip, or if there's a small hill or wooded area between you and the person you want to talk to, the effective range is going to be reduced. Another point is the antenna you use. Baofeng radios are relatively cheap radios. The stock antenna is pretty poor on them. I did some tests on the units that I have and found that only a small amount of the 4 or 5 watt rating that they have was actually getting radiated. One more aspect is that the human body, which is effectively a bag of water, could absorb radio energy. Wearing a radio and antenna low down, such as on your belt, can adversely affect the range you actually get. Your body and kit can also affect the direction your power is radiated in, and you might find that your transmissions are very directional. So let's draw some conclusions from all this. What can we do to get more effectiveness from our radio? Number one, we can use a reasonable amount of power, so running your radio on the high power setting will give you slightly more range than the low power setting. But don't get obsessed with having stupid amounts of power, and keep within the law. Number two, try to increase your height by standing as high as possible and using clearings whenever you can. If the site you are playing at has a fort or sniper tower, these can be useful to reach out further, but obviously obey your safety rules at the site. Number 3, turn your body to face the direction of the person you are contacting. Experiment with the direction you are facing to try and get a better quality comms link. Sometimes it's good to rotate your body as you're talking to see whether the signal gets stronger or weaker. Number 4, and I think this is probably the most important, use a decent antenna. Get it as high as possible on your person. Use a relocation cable if you have to, and try to get the antenna to be in the upper part of your body so it's high and clear. Disillusioned with stock antennas, I started using Nagoya radio ham whips, but I found there are so many fake clones of these on the market. The copycats are good, and the clones look just like the real thing. As soon as the original genuine maker changed something to maintain the authenticity, the fakers will copy that too, so it was very, very hard to tell which ones were real and which ones weren't. The fakes were terrible performance, but you to look at them, they looked exactly the same. I got caught out quite a few times by this. A lot of the military looking antennas sold on eBay and the internet aren't very good electrically. A few years back, there was a lot of publicity about people selling blade antennas made from steel tape measures. In the end, I started to make my own tactical vest antenna system, or TVAS. This type of antenna looks like a cable and is wound around the plate carrier or chess rig. They seem to appear in the 90s around the time of the Gulf War and have a few useful benefits. They don't protrude, so they don't get caught up on doorways or bushes. They can be worn easily in vehicles, and I've actually even worn mine in a helicopter. In battle, and unlike the whip or blade antenna, they don't indicate to the enemy snipers who is carrying the squad radio. Snipers like to target the RTO, as it cuts the squad off communications-wise if they can take him out. I've used my TVAS design, which I call the Tier 2 Stinger, in a number of situations, and I found it to be a good antenna, certainly outperforming the stock antenna. Because it goes from the radio connector itself, you don't need a relocation cable, because it is really its own reload cable, as well as an antenna. I've got a blade antenna too, but I find they are very cumbersome. The big folded ones that you often see are very cumbersome, and although they look pretty cool, they don't really have a benefit at MilSim frequencies. So there you are. Hopefully, this will give you a few tips and pointers and make your future comms more potent. I tend to beat all the Octo 8 games, so if you want to talk comms, come and find me before or after the game. Thanks for tuning in. Bye for now.